It's day two of Spring Share-a-thon, and it's Founders Day on American Family Radio. We're honoring Brother Don Wildman and his wife Linda for their faithful obedience to the Lord and their example to us.
God is more interested in our availability than He is in our ability.
Call now at 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396 to give. Or pledge online at afr.net. And feel free to make your pledge in honor of Brother Don and Linda Wildman for their more than 40 years of faithfulness. It's Founders Day on American Family Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues here on AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, and we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. This is our Share-a-thon. What is that, you ask? Good question. This is our 3 days in the spring, and we do this 3 days in the fall, where we pass the virtual offering plate because we have to have money to stay on the air. I can't be any more plain than that, can I? So that's what we're doing. We're asking you to make a donation to American Family Radio to keep us on the air. Also, we'd like to expand and grow. We'd like to reach more people across the country with the news information and Bible teaching that we have here on AFR each day. Well, joining me to co-host today, we have a plethora. I said a plethora of voices. Ed Battagliano being one of them. Good morning, Ed.
Tim, good morning. It is truly a joy to be a part of this very fine plethora of voices.
My question is, if today is a plethora, what was yesterday?
A cornucopia.
Yeah, cornucopia. That's like a sign, isn't it? Isn't it like a Pisces? A cornucopia.
Yeah, y'all have lost me.
And then we got...
you think of Cassiopeia.
Plethora was almost out of reach for me. And then...
Well, listen, your elders, this Tim and I, we know all kinds of worthless
words. You guys
words.
Are smart, right?
All kinds of words that you'll never need to know.
Fred Jackson can bring in Canadian words.
That's right. I grew up on a farm. I just go, it's a bunch of folks here today.
It's a bunch.
A bunch.
I just want to say, if you're available and able to do this today, you need to watch the program for a little while.
I know what's coming.
Need to watch it. Because Ed has one of his favorite shirts on today.
It's not one of my favorites. It's yeah. Brand new.
That means it's a new favorite.
Yes,
it is.
You can if you so choose, ladies and gentlemen, you can watch the show as Fred's so well advertised there. Go to YouTube or Facebook and just let your little fingers type Today's Issues or big fingers. Or morbidly obese fingers. I don't know. You just have Nancy Pelosi's on us all now about our weight. And so type it in, and you can get Today's Issues and watch the live video stream from our studios here in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Thank I'm you. Just going to say, Fred, okay, that I am following in the footsteps, footsteps of our president.
Come on, you can do it.
I can do it. Who has inspired me with yes. his wardrobe filled with Hawaiian shirts. So I went, you know, everyone always gives me a hard time because most of my wardrobe is black, dark blue, and gray. Yeah. So I get a red Hawaiian shirt, right. Everyone gives me grief.
I think it cheers up your personality outlook.
To have a Hawaiian shirt?
Have a Hawaiian shirt. Well, Ed's got a Hawaiian shirt. I've got a Hawaiian shirt on today. And we didn't call each other.
No, that's true.
Nobody texted this morning and said, hey, what are you wearing today?
It's Hawaiian shirt day.
It's Hawaiian shirt day. We just knew it intuitively.
There you
or
go.
Or instinctively.
Yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Thank you to all those who called yesterday or called already this morning to make a gift to AFR. We so much appreciate it. It's wonderful to hear from our listeners from all over the country. Many of you mailed in your donation pledge a few weeks ago to AFR. We received those. We've counted those in the tabulation here, the running total. So we're just to tell you, Walker, why don't you tell our folks where we are so far.
Sure, I'll be glad to. We're 1 day in, a little past 1 day. We're on day two, and we've had, this is how many we've had.
You can do it too, Walker. Ed, you're making fun of Ed there.
Making fun of Ed.
Boom. He came back to you real quick.
Now Walker's blaming me when he stumbles.
Yeah, that's what I get. Day two of our spring share-a-thon here, we've had 5,773 people donate, totaling $1.13 million pledged and are donated this share-a-thon.
Our goal, quite frankly, is $3 million because that's what we did last fall. Whether we get there or not, I don't know, because, you know, the economy's turned down, so a lot of people don't have the money they had last fall,
right?
Unfortunately. But who knows? Maybe some. I know we've had some people call in and say, hey, I know some folks can't give as much because of the economy, but I want to give more,
right,
to make up for it. That's a blessing, too. So, again, we thank you, all those who choose to support us here at American Family Radio, and you tell us how important our message is each and every day to you and your family. And we take that very seriously. We try to provide the best programming lineup possible to get the truth out about what's going on across the country. Now, before Fred jumps into the news, Ed, we do have a challenge, right?
Yes, we have a $75,000 challenge that began at 8 o'clock Central Time this morning, goes until noon Central Time. And so that means that generous folks have donated an amount, $75,000. They are matching that. So
you can do it. you guys,
up
I don't know. Did you not guys not eat breakfast?
We watched too many Joe Biden clips.
Oh, man. So up to $75,000. All gifts are going to be matched. So
gotcha.
Essentially wants this individual, I don't know if it's one individual or a couple individuals, they want that $75,000 to be doubled.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. They want it to be doubled. So give between now and noon. Let's try to meet that challenge of $75,000.
All right, let's hear one listener testimony. Oh, you didn't get the number.
Oh, yes. No, you are absolutely
right.
We
don't give that enough.
Yes. The number is 877-616-2396. That number again, if you want to give to our fall share-a-thon,
I'm going to give it in stereo, so when you...
Okay. The theme is Bring an Awakening from Romans 13:11. Folks, we are desperate for this country to be awakened to the reality of God and the gospel. And that is the theme of our share-a-thon. The number to give to share-a-thon is 877-616-2396. Or you can go to AFR.net if you don't want to talk to anybody. We understand that.
But if you've been waiting to double your giving, now's the time.
Yes.
So you give $100, it's $200. You give $500, it's $1,000 from now until noon Central Time. So get on board. Fred, let's hear from a listener, and then we'll go to Fred for the news.
My name is Garrett. I'm from South Dakota. It was a year ago. I was sitting in my Suburban working security at night, and I love listening to sports, and our local college was on in the championship game. I couldn't pick them up because of weather. I couldn't get any channel to come in except AFR. That night on AFR, I listened to Adrian Rogers, David Jeremiah, and Dr. Tony Evans. All three of them said to come to faith in Jesus Christ. I thought I was with Jesus 20 years ago, but I've never obeyed or listened. I recommitted myself to Jesus Christ. I gave myself to Jesus a year ago, and I've been on fire for the Lord ever since. In fact, I don't even watch sports anymore. I'm too busy turning the pages of my Bible, and I owe all that thanks to AFR.
Wow, I had not heard that one
I had not heard that testimony either. No. Man, that just gets me jacked up. Yeah, that's awesome.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Who was that from Brent?
Garrett in South Dakota.
Garrett in South Dakota. I knew he was in South Dakota. Garrett, thank you for calling in that testimony, man. That blesses everybody here. That's powerful stuff.
That's why we do what we do.
Yeah.
That person is on fire because of, now strange as it may sound, bad weather kept him from doing what he was going to do, and the only station he got was AFR, and God turned that man's life around.
Tim, before we get to the news, can you tell the story that you told Sandy Rios this morning about the lady who took her car in?
Oh, yeah.
And got fixed?
Yeah.
That's another powerful story.
That was one of the first few share-a-thons we did, and we had just, I don't know if we had 25 stations or whatever, but so we had one put up in a couple in New Mexico. I forgot whether it was Clovis or Las Vegas, New Mexico, but anyway, we have two or three stations there in that state. Anyway, she called in and she said, I got to, just like that listener did from South Dakota, she said, I got to tell you a story. She said, I took my car in to the mechanic, obviously to get it worked on. She had to leave it there for like 2 or 3 days. And she said, when I picked it back up, went into the shop, the man who had worked on it came up to me and said, you the lady with, you know, that owns that car? Yes. He said, well, you know, you left your car on that Christian station, you know, that Christian station. And she said, yes. He said, well, I just want you to know you left it on, and I got hooked on a sermon by Adrian Rogers and started listening to him and listening to AFR. But I listened to Dr. Rogers, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ after listening to him. And I just wanted you to know that.
So he would turn the car on to work on.
Yeah, and she had left it on AFR.
And the radio would come on.
Radio
that
come on.
That is awesome.
And he didn't turn it off, and he didn't turn it to another channel. He just left it there.
Wow.
And he came up to her and told him that that's what happened to him.
That is the power of God's word.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we still air Dr. Rogers' program, Love Worth Finding, every evening here on AFR.
I love listening to him.
Oh, man. He's been gone from the earth for, has it been 10 years now or so?
At least.
We have on one of our walls here at AFR, Love Worth Finding sent us a couple of pages from Dr. Rogers' personal study Bible.
Wow.
With all the notes that he'd written out to the side, one of his many, I guess, personal Bible over his career.
Yeah.
But that's just, we're honored to have that as one of our exhibits here at American Family Radio.
Yeah.
Personal Bible study from Dr. Rogers. Dr. Adrian Rogers is sorely missed, but his message goes on in that deep baritone voice.
Yeah, I love hearing him preach.
Of his. All right, Fred, go ahead, my friend.
Great testimonies. Well, we've been following the Flynn story, and there's a new development on that front. You will remember one of the most high-ranking officials in the Obama administration was his national security advisor, Susan Rice. Now, her name has been back in the news lately, dealing with the revelations of, number one, a meeting in President Obama's office on January the 5th, 2017. So just a couple of months after Donald Trump was elected president of the United States. And in that meeting on January 5th of 2017, the meeting was really about Michael Flynn and what they were going to do and investigating him and talking about surveilling him and unmasking his name. Now, on January 20th, Susan Rice kind of wrote an email to herself where she talked about that meeting on January the 5th and added words like everything was above board, everything according to the book, et cetera, et cetera. So you would take it from the January 5th revelation, the January 20th of the email that she wrote, that she knew all about what was going on the surveillance of Michael Flynn. Well, what has happened in the last couple of days is that someone has gone back and looked at an interview that Susan Rice gave to PBS, in particular Judy Woodruff of PBS, where Judy Woodruff asked her a question about Devin Nunes, who was coming in. I think he was chair of the House Intelligence Committee.
That's correct.
And she said now to Susan Rice, and I'm going to let you listen to this. Now, Devin Nunes is talking about before you left office, before the president left office, you guys were up to investigating somebody in the new incoming administration. Now, I want you to listen to the question and listen to what Susan Rice said. It's cut number three.
We've been following a disclosure by the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes, that in essence, during the final days of the Obama administration, during the transition after President Trump had been elected, that he and the people around him may have been caught up in surveillance of foreign individuals and that their identities may have been disclosed. Do you know anything about this?
I know nothing about this.
I know nothing about this.
I remember hearing someone say that on Hogan's Heroes.
Sergeant Schultz.
Sergeant Schultz. I know nothing. And you know what? I give just as much credence to what Susan Rice said as...
What was her role again?
National Security Advisor.
So she was Michael Flynn's... General Flynn was succeeding her.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is she... Lying through her teeth right there, Fred?
She said, and was so definitive, I know nothing about that.
Walker?
Even though, yeah, that's a lie, but what the trend we're noticing here now that these papers are being declassified is that the former Obama officials who were tied up in this, very closely tied up in this, they lie on television. And then they tell the truth before committees in Congress where they have to go under oath, which, I mean, you're talking about not just they're kind of we're splitting hairs here. This is just it's night and day on what they're saying. Susan Rice is going before committees and emailing, writing memos on the last days of the Obama administration about Michael Flynn, and she's unmasking him also in the Situation Room. But then she's going on television and saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Who's Michael Flynn? It's basically what she's saying there. I don't know what you're talking about. That I don't know why she would lie unless she's trying to cover something up.
Well, also that emails that she sent to herself, which has been quoted after, was it the meeting at the White House where they were talking about General Flynn, which she knows nothing about. But she writes an email to herself about the meeting with FBI Director Comey, President Obama,
right,
herself. I don't know who else was in the room. Was it
the vice president?
Did he know he was? Did he know he was there? Anyway, the email that she sent to herself documenting that meeting, which I send emails to myself occasionally too. That's not unusual, just to remind myself to do something or something like that. But, because you can't text yourself. I haven't figured out a way to do that yet. But it was like she was writing a memo in case somebody else read it in the future, like we have now, saying things like, Director Comey said we should do everything by the book, follow the law. You don't write memos or emails to yourself saying things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would be like me writing a memo to myself saying, be sure when you order the steak to get it medium, you know, and here's what you want on your baked potato.
Yeah. I have another excellent example to show.
Okay.
It's as if you wanted to play golf on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And you emailed yourself and you said, Allison said in our meeting that I could play golf on Saturday. So that if she asks, you say, well, look, I have records of our conversation.
Right.
Why would I do that unless you'd actually said I could play golf on Saturday?
Right. Right. Except she reserves the right to take that back at a moment's notice.
Yes, that's right.
And
I admit I said it on Thursday,
right, but things have changed.
Tim, well, now we're babysitting.
Tim, you got a problem with that?
Yeah.
No. Anyway, so what we got here, this is just more evidence. Not we've gotten into the weeds a little bit with this, but this is just more evidence. It's coming out on a daily basis that, again, the Obama administration, including the president himself, we know now, President Obama and Vice President Biden, they were intentionally making efforts to undercut the new administration.
Right.
That's not typically how it works. Over our country's history, Republicans and Democrats, if it's transferred from Republicans to Democrats or vice versa, the previous administration would work with the new administration to have a smooth transition of power, and so that we have a cohesiveness in our government, whoever the, whatever party's in power. And that's been the tradition of our nation. Well, not this time. This time, the secular progressives and the Democrats there in the Obama administration decided that I'm inferring a motivation, but I think it's becoming clear. They view the Trump upset of Clinton as illegitimate.
Right.
This couldn't have possibly have happened by vote. So somebody manipulated the process, and I'm giving them the benefit of
they believe
that they believe
theory.
That
right,
and it wasn't just pure mean-spirited attitudes. So they were going to take it upon themselves, the Obama administration, to make sure they cut Trump off at the knees before he ever started.
Mm-hmm. Now, and let me just add this too, that you're exactly right about the transition of power from different one party to another. So what the Obama administration did actually ramps up what the Clinton administration did. You remember, you want Walker before your time.
I remember
when George W. Bush won, the outgoing Clinton administration did all kinds of
nefarious things to
the White House, damaged computers,
yeah.
and did all kinds of things with filing cabinets, just to kind of thumb their nose
right.
at the incoming administration. Now it's like the Obama administration ramps it up and goes after Michael Flynn and tries to undercut the incoming administration in something that's seems to be approaching almost a coup.
Well, also you got to remember, this wasn't just one incident where they had a quote legitimate reason to be concerned about General Flynn, that he might be a Russian asset. Don't laugh out loud, but that's what they tried to convince us of now. But also you combine that with the spying on the Trump campaign through the use of false information and the lengths they went to do that.
Yeah.
To the point where President Trump, then candidate Trump, had to move his campaign from the Trump Tower
to New Jersey.
To New Jersey,
right.
to try to get away from the spying that they knew was going on.
Yes, someone was a hero here, and say it's Admiral Mike Rogers, who outed the entire Obama, this whole coup plan. Some say it was Mike Rogers. He went to Trump Tower the week before they moved to New Jersey.
Yeah.
And he was head of the NSA. Some say he went and tipped off Trump on this coup attempt. But nonetheless, somehow Trump found out early on, even before being inaugurated, that the Obama team were using top secret ways to spy on his campaign and his transition.
Absolutely believe that, because when Trump said they're spying on us, the government's spying on us, everyone mocked him. He wouldn't have said that unless he had inside information from a reliable source, someone like Mike Rogers.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not to mention the nearly two-year investigation by Robert Mueller, which had unlimited amounts of money and had a bunch of Clinton lawyers, and they couldn't find squat.
Right.
Come on. The reason they couldn't find squat is there wasn't squat.
Right.
To find.
Squat to be found.
Huh? We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us with more of today's issues.
In honor of Brother Don and Linda Wildman, it's Founders Day on AFR.
You know, I was just thinking back over the years about when Brother Don was just, it was always his work ethic and just the way he thought of things and how frugal he was with the Lord's money that really inspired me, and he was always willing to jump in there with us, whatever we were doing. You know, I can think of one time we were out there, a rainy day, and we're cleaning leaves out of the gutters, and next thing we know, we look back, and there he is with the rake, just out there in the rain with us, just raking them out and, you know, throwing them off. And I mean, he wasn't scared of a plunger or anything else, and always walking through and turning off the lights, you know, making sure that nothing was going to waste. But just here recently, I was came in after hours with a power outage, and you know, there were lights off in every office, and it just ran through my mind, if Brother Don was here, he would not be able to leave a single light on. And just that thought, my conscience wouldn't let me leave till I turned off all those lights. He's just always been an inspiration to me.
Brother Don has been standing in the gap for families, and Linda has been standing behind him since the inception of this ministry more than 40 years ago. We praise the Lord for our founders' obedient service, and we invite you to make a gift in their honor during Share-a-thon on AFR.
My name is Jerome Bogan, originally from New York, now living in Humble, Texas. I'm black, male, married, Christian. Now a Republican voter, voting based on my values. And although I've always had a pretty good idea of what my values were, during the 2008 election, I voted for President Obama and actually voted for him twice. But I really had no political knowledge, and neither did I know about the hidden agendas that existed in politics in America. But I thank God and I thank AFR Radio and all of the various Tim Wildman and Brian Fisher and Sandy Rios and so many others for giving me a clearer political, spiritual perspective and changed my life in such a drastic way. And I thank AFR for all that it's done to contribute to my maturity.
Bringing awakening. It's Spring Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. We need an awakening. Call 877-616-2396 and make your pledge during Share-a-thon on American Family Radio.
We call out to the broken. We cry out for the hopeless. Commanding those in
hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. It's our Share-a-thon, our spring Share-a-thon. We're in day two of 3 days, and we are just excited about the response from across the country by our listening family. And we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who's called in and or sent your pledge in via the mail or you went online, however you did it, to make your pledge to AFR. We appreciate it. Let me just say some good news, even maybe I was going to say even better news, but all that was good I just mentioned. And that is we have a, and I don't know how close we are to meeting this. I don't know yet. We have a $75,000 challenge, that is a matching challenge till noon Central Time. So an hour and 27 minutes from until then, every gift that's donated will be matched up to $75,000.
So you're saying if somebody wanted to give $75,000,
then the match would be over.
So somebody out there could end it.
Well, and
$75,000,
and we're not going to say no to that.
Are it's we probably a, not going to happen.
Not, but probably not going to happen. We're, if somebody feels led to do that. So here, in all seriousness, if you want to double your giving, now's the time to do it. If you haven't participated already, here's the phone number to call us here at American Family Radio. 877-616-2396. Again, we are listener-supported Christian radio. We get no money from the government like National Public Radio does. You know, there's no big corporations that are sponsoring us. It's little old you and little old me.
Yeah, that's right.
As they say, it's the donations from thousands of people that keep us going across the country. Here's the phone number again, 877-616-2396. Ed, what?
Well, you know what? Let me just say this. Not only you double your giving with the $75,000 match, which is going until noon Central Time, let me tell you what else we're going to do for you.
What are we going to do, Ed?
Okay.
What else?
With a one-time donation of $150 or more.
Like $75,000.
Like $75,000. You will receive the Hilarious Highlights Volume 6. That's from Trivia Friday and Learning University. Yes, we lay some learning on you on Fridays, but it's also, we have a lot of fun. Well, J.J. Jasper goes through those during the course of a year and picks out some of the funniest things that we've had on the show, and we compile it into a CD. With a one-time donation of $150 or more, you get that, the Hilarious Highlights Volume 6. If you give a monthly gift of $30 or more, and we do encourage folks to make a monthly commitment because it helps us to budget more accurately, more efficiently. A monthly gift of $30 or more, you not only receive the Hilarious Highlights Volume 6, you also get a Bring an Awakening t-shirt, which is the theme of our Share-a-thon, Spring Share-a-thon this year. Bring an Awakening. The number to call is 877-616-2396. Yes, that number again, 877-616-2396. Or you can go online at AFR.net.
Tell you what, you give $75,000, we're going to throw in an extra T-shirt.
Yes, that's right. And a coffee mug.
And a coffee mug and an extra CD.
And listen, I will also send you.
You'll sign it?
I'll send you a signed replica of the shirt that I'm wearing.
Signed replica.
That's right. A replica of this shirt, and I'll sign it.
Where do you get a replica of this?
I would have to go back to the store I got it from.
But for 75 grand, you can get on that. Can't you, Ed?
I'd do it. Yeah. I'd go right down at lunchtime
and find
you that shirt.
Find a replica. All right, thank you for listening to American Family Radio. By the way, we're at AFR.net on the internet. You can keep up with the Share-a-thon there, AFR.net. Take advantage of the app, too. The app on iPhones, iPads, RottWalker, and similar
devices. Yep, that's right.
Android devices, just download the AFR app. Then you can listen anywhere in the world, if you have high-speed internet, to American Family Radio. Thousands and thousands of people have downloaded the app and are taking advantage of being able to listen to AFR on the internet. Abraham Hamilton III is on each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock with the Hamilton Corner program. Abe is also a constitutional attorney and public policy analyst for us here at AFA and AFR. And good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
How are you doing, brother?
Doing well.
Like doing the well. Tie.
Thank you.
Looking lawyerly.
Looking, the operative word there.
Not like a baby boomer like me with the Hawaiian shirt.
But I will take the duplicate though, Ed.
It only cost you $75,000.
That would have been the one thing, one of the things that would have prevented me from going to law school was you have to wear a tie to work every day almost, don't you? Maybe not on our job here, although you do often, but in your former life as a district attorney or assistant district attorney, you had to do that, huh?
Yeah, I wore a suit and tie to work every day for 5 years, and then a suit and tie every day to work every other week for another 5 years.
And you were a bivocational pastor.
Yes, in the second stint.
So did you have to wear that suit and tie?
And I had to wear a suit and tie.
On Sunday?
On Sunday.
So Saturday.
That's why.
Saturdays was your only day.
Only day.
To put the warm-ups on,
you've probably
right?
gotten used to it now.
I'm used to it now, but I am grateful that I have a closet full of suits that I don't wear very often now.
Oh, man.
Every day, yeah.
Okay, well, Fred, you have a couple of questions to throw at the counselor, right?
Absolutely. Abe, I think one of the repeating stories, troubling stories during this pandemic, it seems there's a double standard when it comes to what governors, particularly in blue states, when they're talking about, hey, business, you can open up again, and that business over there and that business over there. But hey, you churches, now you got to keep your doors closed. We're just not going to let that happen. Well, we heard yesterday that the head of the Federal Justice Department Civil Rights Division has written a letter to the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, saying, you can't do that. You can't be biased. You can't show prejudice against a church. When you're allowing other businesses to open with certain criteria in place, you can't keep saying to churches, no, it doesn't apply to you. And not surprising, there are churches, pastors across the country that are rebelling, including in California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's textbook discrimination. I mean, in the Governor Newsom's California order allows for, and this is the particular, what is phase two of his four-part reopening plan, mm-hmm. It specifically allows for stores and other places to invite people into the facilities physically while explicitly requiring churches to continue their services online and without having any in-person interaction at all. And that's just classic discrimination. I've said repeatedly on this program and in other places that whatever emergency powers that are utilized, it have to be applied equally across the board. So you cannot allow Sonic to have people coming in person and then tell the church you can only have Zoom meetings for your churches. You can't allow Costco or Walmart or Lowe's or whatever you name it to allow shoppers in person, but then tell the churches, hey, you know what? You need to make sure you just stay online. That's textbook discrimination, treating churches differently than other places, entities, and organizations under the guise of a pandemic emergency restriction.
Abe, another aspect of this, and we've talked about it a few times on the show, is the ever-moving goalpost that these governors are moving around, moving out their objectives and making them unattainable. You know, we're not doctors here, but I think we can all understand that upper respiratory viruses like the flu, COVID-19, whatever, they spread human to human, and it just happens throughout the population. But have you gotten a clear picture on what the overall goal is? So let's say we keep churches shut down, 50% capacity at Walmart, blah, blah, blah. What was once, let's don't overwhelm the hospitals, and that hasn't happened even in New York. New York never ran out of hospital beds or ventilators. What's the goal?
Yeah, the original goal that the original expressed objective that most Americans, you know, responded to saying, well, we can go with this for a little bit. We want to flatten the curve of new coronavirus cases in order to prevent the hospital systems from being overwhelmed. Well, when it became a bit apparent that that wasn't happening, you have new conversations. Just this week, the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, you know, him who says it's above his pay grade to understand the Constitution, he said that the lockdown measures will need to stay in place until there's a vaccine.
Hmm.
Most medical experts say that's at least a year, if not a year and a half away. So you mean to tell me you're going to try to maintain restrictions on the American populace at the same level for another year and a year and a half? And it is this moving goalpost, and I think this is why you're beginning to see the true core of the American penchant for freedom. We are institutionally bent towards liberty, you know, and once you become more overt in crushing the freedoms of the American people, people recognize that there's more than one way to cause injury in light of the coronavirus. You mm-hmm. have the virus, but then you have the response to the virus that if it's protracted, it could have damaging effects long term. Even beyond the immediate outbreak of the virus. Mm.
So who's going to stand up for the churches in California against the governor?
Well, I know the Pacific Justice Institute has filed a lawsuit already in Oregon that they've won at the district court level on this exact issue. The way that Brad Dacus and his group argued there was that the Oregon state legislature only allows for emergency orders for a minimum of 14 days or a maximum of 28 days. And they argued that what the governor there was trying to do exceeded the scope of their emergency powers. And so I know for a fact that Brad Dacus and others is working with churches on the West Coast to challenge
is the U.S. Justice Department, I know William Barr, the Attorney General, he's spoken on these kinds of things.
Well,
too.
Not only has he spoken on it, in this particular instance, Eric Dryband, who works in the Department of Justice, has sent a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom in California saying, hey,
you cannot
do this. He's telling him, laying out legal arguments in the letter that you cannot do this, and warning, if you proceed with this, you will face some legal response, and the Department of Justice is going to weigh in there like they've done in Mississippi and in Virginia and other states all around the country.
Mm. Folks, let me use this as a teaching moment, okay? For your Never Trumper friends, all right? Never Trump, Never Trumpers out there, and a lot, some of our Christian brethren who say, I just can't vote for President Trump because I don't like his personality or the way he talks sometimes.
He's mean. He's mean sometimes.
Okay, listen. When we had a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, it was a binary choice, and it was a choice between somebody who loved the country and somebody who believed in conservative judges and basically a constitutional, a respect for the Constitution. I would say that President Trump, despite his weaknesses on the aforementioned areas. Listen, this is the Justice Department of President Trump. President Trump hired William Barr. William Barr is our Attorney General. William Barr has told his Justice Department, you go out there and you fight for the First Amendment of churches to worship. Mm. You don't let these governors shut down churches unconstitutionally. And you have the full backing of the Attorney General's Office of the United States. Mm. If Hillary Clinton had been elected, it would have been a far lefty in charge of the Justice Department where William Barr sits now, and they would be coming after churches on a very aggressive level. The U.S. government, I'm talking about, not just state governments where blue state governors. And this would have been, imagine Eric Holder, for example, being in this position.
Said he's an activist. Mm-hmm. He came out and said he's an activist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the Department of Justice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, again, the teaching moment is this. It matters who the president of the United States is because they control the executive branch of our federal government. They appoint judges, including Supreme Court justices. So, for the Never Trumpers, I say, do you want? There aren't very many left, I don't think. Never Trumpers, a lot of people have come around, having reservations, they've come around. But I'm just giving you an example. You want more persecution of Christians? You want more of our freedoms and liberties taken away? You let these lefties back in to office and they control the presidency and the executive branch of the federal government? You're going to see an aggressive move against churches and Christians and ministries in this country.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. In Eric Dryband's letter, I mean, there was no room for ambiguity.
Is he a U.S. attorney or is he at DOJ?
He's a U.S. attorney.
Okay.
He's not a Barr's.
Because Barr has been putting some of his regional U.S. attorneys on these cases.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And in his letter, he literally said treating churches differently than everybody else, quote, places an unfair burden on churches that violates civil rights protections through unequal treatment of faith communities. Simply put, there is no pandemic exception to the U.S. Constitution and its Bill of Rights.
All right, wow. so let me ask you this, because that's fantastic. So what can the Justice Department actually do if Gavin Newsom, governor of California, says, I don't care what William Barr says, this is California, I run California, I'm telling churches what they can and cannot do. What can William Barr and the Justice Department actually do?
Well, two things. They've already communicated their intent and outlining the law for Governor Gavin Newsom. So the DOJ could join in a suit as an interested party. It wouldn't be joining as a party to the lawsuit, but like they did in Virginia and like they did in Mississippi, to fire off a letter at the district court level. Once, if anything were to appear at the appellate court level and above, the DOJ could file amicus briefs and even argue on behalf of the individual citizens or churches or pastors whose rights have been encroached upon. And if need be, through the DOJ, because it's instructive to note that this is under the Civil Rights Department of the Department of Justice, if need be, pursue a civil rights action against the governor for the violation of these people's rights in the state of California.
All right, Fred has another question for Abraham Hamilton III, visiting with us this half hour, as he does on most Wednesdays. Let me remind you, folks, the kind of information you're hearing right now and discussion you're hearing right now is rare across the country. And because American Family Radio is one of the few sources that will talk about these kinds of issues from a truthful perspective and also from a Christian and constitutional perspective. With all due respect to our brothers and sisters out there across America who also run Christian radio and television networks, the majority of them, they don't want to touch these, quote, controversial issues, right? They just want to play a gospel song or have a feel-good moment. And there's nothing wrong with having feel-good moments. There's nothing wrong with playing a gospel song. But I'm saying they don't want to touch the kinds of issues that AFR does because they're scared. Mm-hmm. They're scared of being criticized or having, you know, people disagree with them. So it's better just to stay safe and not talk about these, quote, controversial issues. So on the other hand, AFR, we challenge Christians to be engaged and to be knowledgeable and understanding and informed so that we can make a difference. Why? Because our country is at risk. Really. Our country hangs in the balance.
Absolutely.
All right? Freedom, liberty, justice for all, the ideals, religious freedom, those self-government. The reasons why people want to pour into America from all over the world is because there's only one nation like us, right? That's just true. There's no so people yearn for freedom and liberty, and so if we lose that, I don't see us having a new place to sail to start over. So it our country is worth fighting for, because we do have religious freedom and many other things that are worth fighting for. So I just say that to remind us of why we talk about issues like this, because they matter, and it's important for our children and our grandchildren and their children, whether or not America survives or not. It does matter. Is America better than any other country? Not inherently, because we're humans like people are in India and China and Angola and Brazil and everywhere else. It's the ideals that our founders created and we've carried through that's made our country great. And it's our faith in God, too, as a nation. Now, if you want to make a gift to American Family Radio to help us meet the $75,000 challenge, you can do so. That is, every gift you give up to $75,000 is doubled right now. If you'll call in and make a gift to AFR, the phone number is 877-616-2396. Again, toll-free, 877-616-2396. And when you call, you'll talk to one of our representatives here. Some of them folks at some of those folks answering the phone here, I'm looking at them through the glass here, and they are staff members. They work for us here at AFA and AFR, and they're helping to answer the phone. Again, toll-free, 877-616-2396. Fred, next question for Abe.
I was going to ask if I could say one thing in light of what you just said.
Yes, please
about
do.
Freedoms in our nation. It's a quote that's often used. It's from John Adams when he was speaking to the Massachusetts militia in 1798, when he said that our Constitution is only sufficient for the governance of a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other. And so when you have the prospect of people with platforms and others that are unwilling to address issues that are widely described as morality issues of the day, they may not realize it. They may not be doing it intentionally, but they are actually undermining the ideas and freedoms that we enjoy in our country. In fact, John Adams and other founders presciently recognized that the moment that we allow our American populace to become grossly immoral is the moment where we cast off this experiment of individual liberty. We cannot have a nation of self-governance where the populace have not been cultivated with the fruit of the spirit called self-control. Mm. So by standing firmly on this front, engaging in these issues as we are, we are not only serving our Lord, but we are fighting for our nation.
And freedoms and liberty come with responsibility, directly related to what you're talking about. And what John Adams is saying is we have to have self-control. We have to have self-control. Well, where do you get self-control if you're going to have liberty? Otherwise, if you get self-control from morality. Where do you get morality from? You get morality from the Bible and from God. I guess people can get it from other places too, the Quran, whatever. But that's not the true morality from the real God.
Right.
So, so the Judeo-Christian value system is what we honor, and the biblical moral teachings. I used to use an example like this. I could go into a convenience store when we get through with this program, and I could probably get away with stealing something, pack of gum or whatever, and walk out and be on my way. However, the reason I don't do that, there's two reasons I don't do that. One is God says not to steal, and I'm a Christian, so I know it's morally wrong. And secondly, I might get caught, and the cops might come arrest me and put me in jail. All right. If we were a nation of millions of people, and we lose that first reason for not committing theft, that is, it's moral, it's immoral, and it goes against God's teaching, and I know God's watching me. If you lose that as a country, in mass, which we're headed in that direction, and all you're left with is police, imprisonment, you're not going to be able to hire enough policemen,
right,
to enforce morality or enforce laws when the total Judeo-Christian moral value system breaks down. Mm. Does that make sense?
Good. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's what we stand for here at AFA and AFR, is upholding the Judeo-Christian moral, by Judeo, I mean Old Testament, New Testament, despite what Andy Stanley says, the values and the values that are reinforced in the New Testament that are emphasized in the Old Testament, i.e. the Ten Commandments, for example. Can you i.e. the Ten Commandments? I don't know.
That is the Ten Commandments.
Okay, I don't mean to disrespect the...
Can I just add something even scarier to the scenario you laid out?
You got 1 minute. Can you stay over?
Sure.
Hey,
I can do this in less than...
Loosen your tie if you want to.
Only because we're making them
stay over for a few minutes. Go ahead, Ed.
30 seconds, okay? That's all I'll take. You said you cannot hire enough police. What happens is, and this is our founding fathers understood this, democracies and republics, once you lose that morality, because you can't hire enough police, chaos begins to creep in, and then people trade their liberties away for a strong, even stronger government, which then hires enough police and then tells you when you can go to the store and when you can't. Yeah. So tyranny always follows the death of a republic.
And we're being tested in that area right now.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
What evidence do you need more than the stories we talked about the last few minutes?
Right.
Right? Yeah, people, and what's the saying? People will trade liberty
for what they view as safety.
Right. That's the temptation.
Yeah.
That's the temptation. Well, Abel, stay over with us because, Fred, we do want you to be a part of the program.
Although he won't in 5 minutes from now.
All right. We shall return in is it 5 minutes? Or are we going to come back before then?
Five minutes.
We'll return in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.